From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This week we have been looking at Psalm 138 verses 4 and 5. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And a little later in the program we're going to be returning to the truth that God is going to effect the ultimate universal triumph of Christ and His gospel by employing the very means that He has placed now in our hands. So the message today will be a call for Christians to rise up in the confidence and power of God to preach Christ to a lost world. The ultimate and universal triumph of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be looking at in today's broadcast. But first, let me talk about something that amazes me. It's amazing what people will believe. It has often been said that when people stop believing in God, they do not believe in nothing, they believe in anything. Similarly, when people refuse to believe the truth of the Bible, they open themselves up to believing the most bizarre and foolish things. In April 2005, hundreds of people visited an underpass beneath the Chicago Expressway to pray before what they believed to be an image of the Virgin Mary on the wall. But what police say may have been caused by staining of the wall by the constant dripping of road salt from the expressway above. Recently, dozens of gullible people went to adore what they imagined was an image of the face of Jesus on a tree in Rochester, New York. For some years, faithful Roman Catholics visited the statue of St. Padre Pio in Italy to be awed by the miraculous tears of blood that the image shed. The only problem is, as Roman Catholic authorities have admitted, the blood belongs to a woman. The tears were a hoax all along. It's not only Roman Catholics who have fallen for such deceptions and follies. Every day on charismatic television, we have some unscrupulous charlatans claiming all sorts of miraculous power, and of course offering to make it available to you, if only you will just hand over some of your money to them. The thing is so obviously a fake that a blind man should be able to see it. But many sincere people, usually people in desperate circumstances, fall for the deception. Preachers will sell them holy water, holy prayer cloths, some claimed relic or other. They claim miracles that have failed in every case to stand up to the examination of reputable Christian physicians. And people still believe them. It's sad, and it's also unnecessary. Instead of the exotic claims of charlatans, such as I died and went to heaven and had a talk with God on His throne, and that sort of thing, instead of looking for some extra-biblical word of knowledge, why don't people simply get back to the Bible and really discover the wonderful depths of the gospel? Isaiah the prophet speaks of our drawing water with joy from the wells of salvation. Those wells are the great truths of the gospel, and they are full of heaven's refreshment for our souls. Yet how few people drink deeply from them. How many, even Christians of long standing, have much idea of such glorious truths as our union with Christ, our justification by the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us, our total acceptance in God's beloved Son, and the benefits of the high priestly ministry of Christ for us. These are just a few glorious wells of salvation, but how few people really drink of them. Years ago, Dr. DeHaan commenced a program called Back to the Bible. That's precisely what we need to do today. Quit believing the follies and deceptions of religious quackery, whether Roman Catholic or professed Protestant. Let's give up these follies and deceptions of religious quackery and get back to the great truths of the gospel. And that's your surest safeguard against deception. Now, before we turn to the Word of God today, we're going to have another piece of music, but first let me remind you of our special offer for this month of December. We're offering you the booklet, Election and Reprobation, an exposition of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. A very important booklet on a very important subject. And I trust that you'll be able to read it, study it, and be blessed by it. You may get your copy of Election and Reprobation by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-LTBS or 5827. It's been good to have letters and calls from many of our listeners, and I trust that you'll join that company as you send for the booklet Election and Reprobation.
Oh, for that blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord. Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still. But then calm my frame, so pure a light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb.
As Mr. Spurgeon once said, I'm not sent to preach up man's doubts and try to argue around them. I'm sent to preach the words of God's mouth. And at the end of the day, all my argumentation will not lead souls to faith, and it will not lead souls to repentance, and it will not lead them to embrace Christ for salvation. You see, the trouble with the man, with the souls of men is not merely with their mind. In fact, it is never an intellectual problem that keeps sinners from Christ. It's a heart problem. They're dead in sin. They're shaped in iniquity. They're in living rebellion against God. So what is needed? What is needed is the mighty glory of the Lord to intervene, to let them hear the words of His mouth. And when they hear the words of His mouth, He'll lead them to faith. The entrance of Thy words giveth light. So if that's going to be what the Lord uses to bring all the kings of the earth before His Son, bowing in worship and praise, if it's just letting them hear the words of His mouth that's going to effect such a wonderful result, isn't it time, with confidence, that we started to let people hear the words of the Lord's mouth? We have a well-established confidence that the means at our disposal are powerful, they're adequate, they're successful. I want you to understand that. I'm sick, sore, and tired listening to carnal preachers telling us about how we need to have this new methodology and that new methodology and the other new methodology. I never forget what my friend, the late Jordan Kahn, said.
Some of you will remember him from 1981. Maybe, I think it was about 81. He came visiting us in Sharon Drive. The mightiest man of prayer I have ever known. When Jordan Kahn met people and they told him, you know, you can't expect to see done today what the apostles saw done in the saving of souls. You can't expect to see a mighty move of God sweeping thousands into the kingdom of Christ. You can't expect to see that. These are the last days. These are awful days. Blah, 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 blah. And Jordan Kahn just drew himself up to his full height, which was quite imposing. And his dark, burning eyes bored into them. And he said, when you have prayed for 10 days and 10 nights, as the early church did, when you have prayed for 10 days, then you come and tell me that God doesn't work today. Trouble is, you won't pray. You won't give yourself to prayer as did the early church. You want their power without their pain and their passion. And because you won't have the pain and the passion, you deny that there's such a thing as the power. I never forgot the challenge. The means are adequate. The means are powerful. And they are successful. They will prevail. We are on the winning side. The gospel is going to prevail. I know the Lord is sovereign and He's working out His own sovereign purpose. He's working His own timetable. But the end is not in doubt. So therefore, let's, with confidence, chase away the fear of man, the unbelief of the flesh, the laziness of the flesh. Let's allow this confidence to stir our own souls. As I say, if the prophetic vision doesn't have a present impact on our lives, we're misusing it. We must pray God to stir our souls to make Christ known. To make Him known by every means legitimately at our disposal. To make Him known in every place. To make Him known where He has been heard of before. To make Him known where He has never been heard of before. To let the world see and hear what the Lord has done for us. I say that as I close to encourage you, because you see, the usual response is, well, I can't. I can't preach. I can't do this. I can't do that. Running through that stream of prophecy that I have quoted liberally this morning, there is one vital fact. And that is that these people who will hear the words of the Lord's mouth will also be mightily moved when they see the effect of the Lord's grace and power in the lives of His people. You see, there's something, even in that period when the Lord is giving a worldwide increase, even in that period, if I am right, even in that period where Christ Himself will be personally present on the earth, even in that period, the Lord is going to use mightily the personal testimony and the evident grace in the lives of His people. You see, the principles will not change. The times may change, but the principles according to which God moves will not change. The psalmist said in Psalm 66, come and hear what the Lord has done for my soul. You may not be a theologian. You may never know Greek or Hebrew. You may have a hard time even with some of the words in the English Bible. Work at it, but don't let it discourage you. If you have a testimony, Go and give it. Let the world see what God has done for your soul. Let them see and hear what He's doing now in your life. There is no apologetic argument as strong as a vital personal testimony. When the Lord shows sinners what He's done for you, when you can tell them, this is what He's done for me, He'll effect great things. The Lord says to you and to me, as He said to the demoniac of Gadara, as soon as He had saved him, and there he was, sitting clothed and in his right mind, suddenly he stirred up, and I can well imagine why. I admire the man for this. Lord, I want to follow You. I want to go wherever You go. I want to be one of these disciples. I want to be a traveling preacher. And the Lord Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you. May the Lord give us this confidence that we'll be up and doing, confident today, because we know that the Christ whom we serve and the gospel that we preach must and shall prevail and ultimately will have universal, worldwide dominion. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all seek the Lord's face. In just a moment, the meeting will be over, and you'll be free to leave or to remain around the Lord's table. As Dr. Barrett said, the Lord's table is for the Lord's people, saved by His grace, seeking to walk in fellowship with Him, and not currently under the discipline of any local church. Before, however, those who leave do so, and those who remain do so, let me ask you just to take this moment and do a couple of things. Thank the Lord that that glorious gospel has ever dawned in your heart. Never lose that thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Second, thank the Lord that this gospel must and shall prevail even to the ends of the earth. And then ask the Lord to give you that confidence and that commitment for the preaching of the gospel, for the presentation of Christ, that you may live for Him, walk with Him, talk of Him, that through your giving out God's word, whether by tract or by testimony or any other way, many indeed would be brought to worship and praise the Lord in His ways. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, is it not to you a tragedy that you have heard so much of the Word of God and yet or without Him? It is time to seek the Lord while He may be found. The ministers are here to help you. Many others, elders and Christian workers, here to help you. We'd be happy to point you to Christ. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. We thank Thee for an almighty Savior. We bless Thee for an all-glorious Redeemer. We thank Thee, O God, for a Christ who died and rose again, who sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, from henceforth expecting until His enemies be made His footstool. We thank Thee, our Father, for a Savior who's coming back. We bless Thee for one whose person and whose gospel must prevail and must garner the worship of the world. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speed the day. And in the meantime, give much grace to all who name Thy name, to be faithful in their witness for Christ, to be willing to give forth the gospel in all its beauty and all its purity. Lord, add Thy power, and God grant that Thou wilt give us the joy of seeing many, many precious souls brought to the feet of our Redeemer. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I trust that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's broadcast. We'd be happy to hear from you. If you'd like to inquire further about the Free Presbyterian Church, comment on the program, receive our full-color quarterly magazine, and especially if you'd like to receive my booklet, A New Beginning, to show you how to be saved and sure you're saved, we would welcome your correspondence. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or email us at ltbs@freepres.org. We invite you to visit us also at our website, freepres.org, where you may listen to and download sermons from a number of our ministers. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you being with us, and I trust you'll join us each day at this time as we let the Bible speak.